welcome to Pull or Pass, your weekly geeky comic book show. This is issue 29, and I'm one of your hosts. I'm Mark, and I'm alongside...
Zach, one of your other hosts.
Hello, Zach.
Hey, all right.
We've been doing this for 29 issues. How have we managed to have a really awkward start randomly for this one?
I'm not sure. I thought we'd, you know, really smooth that out and nailed it every week, but...
I got the weekly geeky thing. I don't say weekly geekly anymore.
I really like weekly geekly.
But geekly isn't a word.
It's got this whole Ned Flanders vibe, though.
It does. It does. Oh, dear. I don't want to have a Ned Flanders vibe. I've been watching a lot of Simpsons because, you know, I can't go out.
Yeah, I started in on it as well.
I think it's like series 9 or 10 we've got to. And randomly, they point out that Ned Flanders is 60.
He looks all right for 60.
He does. The whole point of the episode is that he's looks that good because he's never done anything naughty.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
And yeah, he was 60. And I'm like, damn. So now I don't want to be compared to a 60-year-old man, thanks.
All right. Not
yet. Anyway, yeah, this is Pull or Pass. And yes, we're still in isolation and we're still not getting new comics. Harry, is that for you?
You know what? I'm fine. I'm not going to lie. I've got so many things that I've bought and not read that I'm doing okay, I think. How about you?
Yeah, I think I have started to catch up with the gigantic pile of comic books and bookie books on my bedside table, which was never going to happen while there was new comics coming out. And, you know, I had a life where I got to do stuff that involved earning money and working and stuff. But I'm kind of liking getting through that.
Well, it's interesting to me because over the years I've had a lot of friends say, if Marvel and DC could just stop for a bit so they could catch up, it'd be great. So if we come out of this and everyone I know isn't just on the cutting edge of what's new in comics, really, they've missed the one opportunity they're going to get.
Well, yeah, let's hope it is the one opportunity. Because in my head, we are not anywhere near coming out of lockdown yet, I don't think.
I doubt it, but time will tell, I suppose.
I mean, your day job is NHS-based, so you're a key worker. How are you finding that?
It's kind of... I mean, the actual details of the job are a little bit different, obviously, because less patients are being encouraged to do things. But, it's actually not that much of a change, weirdly. I mean, everyone... Maybe I'm just surprisingly chilled, but...
Maybe.
It doesn't seem, at least on my end, to be that much of a difference. I'm still dealing with the same things and doing the same stuffs.
Well... Obviously, I can't do weddings at the moment, but technically I'm a key worker because of funerals. And
yeah,
so
of
it's really weird. I've got all this extra time and then I haven't because a funeral or two funerals will drop into my lap. And really cynically, I'm getting quite a lot of funeral work. And there's an obvious reason for it, which is heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, of course. That's yeah.
But the industry is... changing on a daily basis because of restrictions by crematorium and things like that. So it's a really weird situation for me. I'll have days when I've got nothing to do and then suddenly I'll have funerals on and I'm busy, like really busy with my job. So it's really, really weird. But the constant is comics. Let's talk about comics. Have you got any comic book news?
I've got quite a few little bits, yeah.
You see, I haven't. I've got two things, but one of them's quite meaty. Shall we go with that one first?
Yeah, let's go meaty first.
Did you see about the Netflix deal with Boom Comics?
Yes, that's one of the things I've got. Actually.
Yeah, it isn't starting yet because of lockdown. It'll actually be from next January that they'll be looking at making some Boom stuff. But There was a lot of excitement about Buffy and Angel and other stuff like that, and then yeah, that was shut down. And of course it was shut down. They're licensed. Yeah. Of course the deal was for original only stuff. The fact that people were that dumb kind of made me laugh.
I mean, even if those were options, I would still rather see something new than just trying to go back to Buffy or Angel right now.
Oh, no, I disagree completely. I would love to see a Buffy remake. I would love to see a Buffy the Animated Series or a continuation. But that's because I'm a massive Buffy nerd.
And I get that, but
it just was never going to be a thing, was it? And it's adorable that people thought it might be.
But the reality is, every time we get a reboot of something that's much loved, like Buffy, everybody complains about it anyway.
I didn't want a reboot. I wanted a continuation. I wanted like an animated series of Ripper or an animated series of Faith or Spike or anything, you know? Because, you know, you can have the same voice actors 20 years on animated series, but that's not happening. What I am thinking is Red Mother will be good. I know Lumberjanes.
Yeah, that could work.
Lumberjanes is popular and isn't my thing, but I think that one will do wonders. I probably wouldn't watch that. But the one that made me think was I'd really like to see a live action adaptation of Klaus.
Yeah, I could get on board with that. I think it'd work as a kind of yearly Christmas themed thing. I think you could get a lot of mileage out of it.
But was there anything else that you were excited about with the deal?
I mean, there's quite a lot of Boom comics that I do really like. I mean, stuff like Lumberjanes isn't one of my favourite series, but I can really see it working as like an animated show or something like that. And I think it was, Godshaper by Cy Sperrier was from Boom, which is a really good graphic novel kind of dealing with ideas of religion, and I think that could be a really promising idea. But I suppose time will tell. There is quite a lot of Boom books. I'm always surprised because I never think there's that much Boom and then realize there's loads.
Yeah. And I think Netflix and comic books are taking over the world, clearly.
Yeah, it seems like it a little bit, and I'm okay with that.
Me too. That was my big news. Have you got any big news?
I mean, that was actually one of my biggest ones. I've got other stuff. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Final series has been announced. It's going to be 13 episodes starting on May 27th in America. I haven't found the date it's going to start in England, but that's fairly substantial.
Well, I mean, I'm only on series 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so because that's all I can watch without paying for it, or paying extra for it because it's on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. So I guess it'll be a long time before I get to see that. But, you know, I do enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I've watched it sporadically.
Yeah.
And I'd like to point always legally, but the problem I always had with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., one minute it was free on Amazon Prime, the next minute it wasn't. So I've had to dip in and out. So yeah. I'll at least get to binge it properly when it does eventually make its way to Disney Plus.
That's true. I think that's one of the things I was thinking is how long is it going to be, though, before it is available on Disney Plus or Amazon or some such? Because I, much like you, I'm quite a way behind, I think. Yeah, season 4 might be the last I've seen, so we'll see. But it's interesting. It's curious, it's wrapping up.
Is the 13-episode thing what they always had planned, or have they reduced it because of having to close studios because of the coronavirus, do you think?
I'm not actually sure. It's a difficult one to judge because, obviously, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to begin with was much longer seasons.
Mm.
But then stuff like the Marvel Netflix shows were always 13 episodes. So I don't know if it's just that more shows are moving towards the 13 episode kind of format or.
Yeah, it's not an interesting one. Yeah. The next bit of news I had was Ed Brubaker has randomly released a digital only new comic book called Friday through Panel Syndicate, and they're a kind of web comics company. They've only ever released PDFs and digital versions of comic books. They were famous for a book called The Private Eye, was their first one.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, Ed Brubaker's a big name, and while we're struggling for new content, it's basically pay what you think, a bit like Humble Bundle.
Okay, so, that's cool.
Yeah, it's new content by Ed Brubaker. I haven't looked at it yet, but I might do.
That's cool. I have another kind of new digital thing as well for this week.
Go on then.
So Max Visaggio and Claudia Aguirre have got a new series out coming from Comixology Originals, which is Lost on Planet Earth, which again, haven't dug into the full details of, but the cover they've released and everything I've seen from it so far looks pretty cool. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like there's some good digital things coming out. That was released on the 15th, so it's out now.
And the thing is, I mean, we could probably scrape the barrel and find digital releases of new stuff to review on the show. But in my head, at least, while everyone's on furlough, not earning as much money, or they've lost their work, I don't want to cover stuff that isn't free. Am I being overly worried about something that doesn't matter, or would you want to maybe look at doing new releases as well?
I think we are doing a lot of kind of back issues at the moment, so there's definitely call to cover some of the new things. I think people will still be out to get them and still interested to see what is coming out in spite of the current situation. So, yeah, maybe we should dig into new digital releases.
Okay. I mean, I don't mind. I'll read whatever, really. We just have to kind of adapt the show as we go along at the moment.
Yeah, of course.
Who thought I'd be recording this in my dressing gown in my living room, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
I'm supposed to be on the radio, damn it. Studio and professionalism and no dressing gowns.
But you can't have it all, Mark.
I mean, I quite like being in my dressing gown, truth be told. Anyway, what's your next news? I ain't got no more.
So, my next thing was that, and this is something that, again, never going to apply to us, but good to cover. So Jim Lee is auctioning off commissions daily. So basically for 60 days, starting at the start of April, ending at the end of May, he's doing a full piece of artwork every day, which is then going to be auctioned off in a 3-day auction on eBay. And all the funds raised from it will go to the Book Industry Charitable Foundation to help with retailers during the store closures at the moment.
That's a good idea.
And whoever wins the auction then gets to choose what the next commission will be, essentially.
That is pretty cool, actually.
And obviously it's going to be artwork that we could never afford, but
no.
It is a nice idea.
Still, it is cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea. It's nice that people are doing what they can to raise money to support shops right now.
That is cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
You got any more news?
I've got one final bit, and this comes with the caveat that from today onwards, I'm not mentioning this again until it changes.
Okay.
So, once again, there's still no new Marvel, with the promise that maybe at some point there will be new Marvel. That's basically the extent of it, that the week of the 15th, they've not released any more new comic books, despite the kind of, yeah, we're going to review it as we go. Much like DC said that they were going to keep bringing stuff out. So this is my final weigh-in at the moment of there's still currently no new Marvel.
So it's basically no news then.
It's no news. It's news, but the news is that there isn't anything happening.
Right, okay.
So it's kind of reporting on news that is not that significant, but shut up. Yeah. I just thought it was, we've mentioned it the last 2 weeks, so you know, just keep going back to the well. But, you know,
I mean, it could be a kind of like running gag.
It could be,
It's not a very funny one, though, is it?
Yeah, it's just not that funny a gag, unfortunately. It's very like, hey, guess what? There isn't Marvel.
Haven't they put some free stuff on Comixology?
They have. They have put some free stuff on Comixology, and you know what? It's a good selection. They've gone for full trades, which is interesting compared to a lot of people at the moment who are giving away like just first issues. So you've got some Black Widow, Civil War, the start of the current Avengers run. So quite an interesting mix of new stuff. There's some the Dark Phoenix saga is in there as well. So, it's a bit of a mix. I think there's about 10 books up at the moment, maybe, that they're giving away free. So
that's not bad, though, is it?
No, it's a good amount to have to dive into, definitely.
Mm. Other than that, I guess we could mention our Spotify playlist. Everything that we play on the show, we put on a weekly Spotify playlist. Just look for the Pull or Pass playlist. And if you are listening to the podcast version and you do fancy listening to the full radio show, you can get that on our YouTube channel or via our Mixcloud. But yeah, podcasts are good. Podcasts seem to be our most popular way of listening again, anyway.
Yeah, it seems that way.
I just feel like people are missing out on the music, that's all.
Yeah, I do like our music. I mean, I know that sounds obvious because we pick it, but...
Yeah.
So, should we dive into this week's comics and that? Well, not this week's comics, but...
The comics that we've chosen for this week's show.
Yes, that.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Travelling Man. They have been our sponsor since day one with Pull and Pass. They are closed at the moment, but you can access board games and graphic novels and stuff through their website. Give them a look. And if you want some geekery while you're alone in your home, Travelling Man are your people.
Indeed.
Mm. So we did some Dark Horse books this week.
We did.
And they were all accessible free through the Dark Horse website, issue ones on there. And you do have to register for an account with them, which made me a little bit cross because, you know, TKO, Vault, Image, you didn't have to do that. You could just literally click and off you go. But it wasn't actually that much of an effort to set up an account, really. But it still kind of made me kind of a little bit, yeah.
They do give you a 20% discount, though, on whatever you buy following that, though. So that's...
Yeah, that's true.
Could be worse.
And I really did like the design. Unlike TKO, Vault and Image, they had actually got some quite impressive panel-by-panel software that you could use and, like, use close-ups of each panel, which is something similar to the functionality of Marvel Unlimited. That impressed me, and it made me kind of like forgive having to bother with an account because that was pretty doody.
Yeah, very similar to Marvel Unlimited and Comixology, which was nice. It made it a lot easier.
Yeah, and it felt like a step up from just stuff that you have to scroll through. But, you know, I think... Anybody giving you free stuff has got to be, you know, give them some love.
Yeah, definitely.
So the first one we looked at was Frankenstein Underground. And being the English literature graduate nerd that I am, the first thing that I have to mention that everybody knows, yet the person who made this comic didn't seem to, Frankenstein was the professor, the doctor, not the monster. And that annoyed me.
And that's all we've got time for on Frankenstein Underground this week.
Dr. Frankenstein wasn't in it at all. It was just the monster. So, I don't know. Maybe Dr. Frankenstein will be in it at some point. But from what I read, I was like,
Yeah, that's fair. This is a weird one. So it's kind of after the events of, you know, Frankenstein. Said Frankenstein's monster becomes something of a drifter and knocks about all over the planet before having a wrestling match with Hellboy and then winds up in an Aztec temple.
Unless, yeah.
Unless you've got something to add to that.
I'm a sucker for a kind of horror classic reimagining. Dean Koontz has actually done a similar premise where Frankenstein's monster survives and then he does a series of books about his life afterwards.
Yeah.
But Big Finish, who are the people who did the Doctor Who audio collection. They did a version of this called Confessions of Dorian Gray, where Dorian Gray lived and then had adventures afterwards. And I am a sucker for stuff like that, particularly if it is a book that I really, really liked, like Dorian Gray or Frankenstein. And I thought the art was great in this. It was the same guy who does Hellboy, and it was noticeable.
See, the artist wasn't, though, because Mike Mignola does the art for Hellboy, but Ben Stenbeck just did his best, I don't know, Mike Mignola art impression for this. It was...
Oh, really? I thought it was the same artist. I mean, I'm clearly not very observant, but bloody hell.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was Ben Stenbeck as Mike Mignola.
Yeah, good grief. Well, anyway, it got the feel of Hellboy and its universe, because this is set in the Hellboy universe, which is confirmed by a one-panel wrestling match with Hellboy.
Yeah, which is a bit weird, but there you go, I'm sure. I haven't read that part of Hellboy, but there's a chance it's one of the short stories or some such.
And then one thing, having bitched about getting the name wrong, I felt that they got the spirit and the idea of the monster really quite right. I thought they kind of got into the character and the torment, and I thought they did that really well.
Yeah, I agree. I think they do kind of capture what Frankenstein's monster is all about. I think I just struggled to get into this, though, in a lot of ways. Although I liked some of the ideas, it did feel kind of like things were just happening for very little reason, from my point of view, at least. The antagonist just seemed to kind of appear for no real reason. And I think I could have done with a little bit more time just with Frankenstein's monster, just, you know, chilling.
Yeah, there was some good stuff that I genuinely thought was very well written, like terms like the object as a reference to, say, like a slavery reference. And it was, your classic, if it's not human, can it have should it be treated like a human thing, which you get in a lot of sci-fi with sentient robots and stuff like that. Yeah. So there were some themes that I like in there. But as it was, I'm not sure if it's a pull. What about you?
It's not a pull for me. I think I kind of needed more of an intro to where we were going with this, and this didn't feel very intro-y. Like I say, I think there were some nice ideas. I think the art was really good. But overall, I don't know, this just didn't grip me that much.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. So it would probably be something I would go, if I had some spare time and it was in a library or something like that. But I don't think I'll probably be prioritizing it anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's a good chance that if it pops up somewhere down the line and I get the chance to read it, I probably will see how it plays out. But this isn't a must read kind of feel for me.
Should we move on to Beasts of Burden?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so Beasts of Burden. Dogs and cats are kind of superheroes.
Yeah, they protect the small town of Burden Hill from the forces of evil, in a nutshell.
It was cutely odd, with like people having mundane chats, but the people having mundane chats were dogs and cats.
I mean, I'm going to have to put this out there early. It's mostly dogs.
But there's two cats.
There are two cats, but there's also like a bazillion dogs.
There's many dogs. And I thought the art was gorgeous, really bright, and suited the idea of a book led by dogs and cats.
Really nice kind of watercolor artwork, which is Jill Thompson as the artist, and yeah, it looks really nice.
And I thought that they got the anthropomorphized, or whatever the word is, the actions of the animals that were anthropomorphized. I thought they got that really well. I thought they, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I think kind of it's a weird one to try and characterize pets as doing human things of, you know, that classic human thing of hunting monsters and
yeah, but I thought they got that quite well. And but they also managed to make it quite clearly about the animals as well. There was a moment where a dog called Ace got left chained by his owners, and yeah, I thought that resonated really well, and I thought that was well told, and I liked how the cat was sassy. And there was also a few pages where they just, and again, I'm a massive sucker for this, so there are things that I will always like, full page spreads, and this is another thing I've always liked, and that is stories with pictures. No words at all, but you can see the story unfold through the artwork. And they did. There was a portion in the middle that was exceptional as well. I really liked that. And then it was suddenly unexpectedly brutal.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it kind of lulls you into a false sense of security with all the
yeah.
Here are some talking animals, and then kind of takes a horror twist about two thirds of the way in, which, yeah, I should have known was coming, but it still seemed to be from out of nowhere a little bit.
Yeah, I was horrified, and you know, that's kind of the point of horror, right?
Usually, yeah.
But I'm relatively thick-skinned when it comes to horror these days, because I've consumed so much of it. That one got me, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. It's an interesting one. And one of the things I did want to bring up was that it is noticeable at times that this isn't the first installment of this, and that there has been, I think there was another short story beforehand that won an Eisner Award, which they do make reference to. I did find it a little bit annoying that this is the first issue that's being given away by Dark Horse, if there is something beforehand.
That seems like a little bit of a shooting in the foot, I agree. But it's pretty bloody good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is a solid start to the series. I would like to read what came beforehand, I guess, before yeah. diving into this.
Yeah, but for me, I came out of it wanting to know what happens next. So I did immediately spend $3.50 on the rest of the graphic novel for this, because I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, I'm a sucker for cute animals. I'm a sucker for good art, and I'm a sucker for stories with pictures. And it gave me many things I wanted. So it's not it wasn't really a surprise to me that this was a pull.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not sure. I think I'm somewhere in the middle with this. I kind of want to read more, but I don't know. I want to read what came before it before I carry on with the actual series. And it does annoy me that by the conclusion, we've got one cat.
We could do with more cat.
This sounds really bad, but as a cat person, I'm bored of dogs. Everybody loves them, and I get it, they're okay. I don't have any problems with dogs. I just think in comics and films and everything, it's always, let's put a load of dogs in it, people love dogs. Yeah, fine, I do, dogs are okay, I like dogs, but cats are better. I'm a cat person, give me some cats.
I mean, I'm definitely a cat person too. Cats are the best.
Indeed.
But my love of dogs isn't that far behind cats, so I didn't mind that as much as you seem to. I get it, and I understand your point. And all about the cats, but
I'm just saying we need better cat representation.
Yeah, they are underrepresented, cats.
It's true.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Did you decide whether you were going to pull a pass on it?
I think it's a pass, but I do want to read what came beforehand.
Fair enough.
And maybe then I'd reevaluate.
Okay, next up is Everything. And yes. You can start on this one, because I still haven't decided what I think about it.
So Everything is the name of a mysterious new mall opening in Holland, Michigan in the year of 1980, conveniently just before Halloween. And it's a peculiar read.
It really, really is. There was a lazy kid who was quite horribly smacked around by his dad. And it was like, okay, he was lazy, but whoa, that escalated quickly. And that didn't feel right to me in a weird way.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
It went from 0 to 100 with no real explanation, because every kid's lazy and gives their parents a bit of lip. Surely no one's dad is that much of a lunatic.
I wouldn't have thought so, but then I don't know. I guess it kind of had that old school Stephen King vibe of here's some characters and things are way worse for them than you can possibly imagine, you know? So I think it was just a lot of aspects were dialed up a lot rather than being realistic at times.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
It's a really surreal read, is what I would say about this.
There's one full page spread which amused me, because normally full page spreads are used to show the expanse of space or the size of a giant forest or that you've entered a new world. Or it was used like that, but it was just used for big-time shopping centre. And that kind of just made me smile. I'm like, it's a sudden shopping centre.
They spent a good couple of pages just establishing, you know, hey, man, retail, and showing customers, showing the shopping centre. And like you said, with Beast of Burden, doing a lot without any dialogue to just set the scene. And I am... It's quite an odd art style. INJ Kulbad, who's co-writer and artist. And it's kind of an odd art style. It's kind of somewhere between cartoony and non-cartoony. People at home, if you Google this, you'll know what I'm getting at. But there's so much to kind of unpack that... I feel like we could have done a full episode on just, hey, let's talk about what's going on in this first issue of Everything.
One thing I was impressed with, the kid that got smacked by his dad, when he went for he had a job interview, and he'd got a split lip in that, and I thought, nice attention to detail, because something that's always annoyed me in films is one punch in the face, you're going to have a bruise or a broken lip or whatever. Yeah. And... in a lot of popular culture, you can get punched in the face 100 times and you're still beautifully handsome.
Mm.
And I liked that. I thought that was despite the weird art style and despite the kind of surreal vibe of the whole thing, that was strangely realistic, and I spotted it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a unique... It's got some unique details in there that you wouldn't always see, and I think that's good. I think that carries over well. It's an interesting one, because it's kind of a little bit sci-fi with a little bit of a almost B-movie horror vibe at times.
Yes, I got that, and it was quite mundane for the vast majority of it, and then suddenly sinister, and that kind of thing does kind of work for me usually.
Yeah, of course. There was one thing in it that I really liked, and it says a lot about how cynical I am. Laurie, who's works in a bank, and she has a conversation with someone about their mortgage and about how, well, if you start now, you know, you'll own the house fair and square by the time you're 60, because this is a trap to, you know, make sure you stay in the job you hate and always have to pay the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
Which... whilst painfully cynical, is an opinion I hear from so many people, and it's like, yeah, I quite like just working in the banks, just throwing that out of there is, it was weirdly out of place, and I thought it worked well.
There was another thing I particularly liked as well. I can't remember the character's name now. She was in a bar, and she got this terrible chat-up line from this bloke. And again, it goes back to my love of storytelling without words. There was a panel where she just looked at him. The next panel, she was looking at him with the same face. And the third panel was the same face again. And she told him, well, she told him to go away, but in much, much less polite words. And yeah, that made me laugh out loud, sat in my dressing gown in my living room. So that I really did like that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because there are some quite well done character moments that kind of sum up who someone is in very little bursts. I think it is interesting to manage to do in a book that spends a lot of time without dialogue and has this overall sense of unease, to also kind of tell you exactly who Laurie is as a character between the bar scene, the scene at work, and the scenes of her at home. It's got quite a lot in one in this first issue, I think.
Yeah, it does cover a lot. You're right. And that's not a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
What do you think? Would you pull it or is it a pass?
This is a pull for me. I think it's weird enough and surreal enough to kind of get me intrigued. And this is an odd one. Did you read the kind of, in the back of the issue, there's a letter from Chris Cantwell about what inspired the series. Did you read that?
No, I didn't. What did it say?
So it's basically, it tells this big long story about his history with shopping malls and working in retail. And this weird story about how the Toys R Us near him when he was a kid was infested with crickets, and it made him
okay.
And it made him think that what kind of deal had Toys R Us struck with the devil to have, you know, it's infested with crickets, but every kid wants to be here. And then from that, he kind of goes to, so what he was thinking with this was, what if this mall was the Overlook Hotel, and what if they were, if everyone was under its spell, except for a few people who, you know, had like the Shining, essentially, would you still go shopping if you knew the mall was haunted?
It's very B movie vibe, and I love me a B movie.
Yeah. I think between the kind of weird B movie vibes and that description of, imagine it's The Shining set in a shopping mall, was kind of like, okay, I can totally see what you're going for, and I'm curious enough to see where you're going to take it. So yeah, this is a pull for me on those basis alone.
For me, I was really undecided, and I was looking forward to talking to you about it, because I definitely thought that it would help me and my decision. And as we've chatted about it, I think it's grown on me, and it has become a pull. Even more so now that I know you're buying it and you can lend it me.
I mean, I'm going to be straight with you, Mark. I've already bought it on Comixology, but...
Oh, it is sad.
The trade isn't out yet, so...
Oh, is it not? Is it relatively new then?
Yeah, this is only from, I think... So I got the first 5 issues on Comixology for like, I don't know, a fiver, maybe less. Mm. So I think it's only from the end of last year, must be.
Okay, right. Because when I bought Beasts of Burden, I bought it through directly through the Dark Horse website.
That would have made more sense. I think I'd already bought the first couple of issues through Comixology, so
fair enough.
I'd already committed to a format.
and that, again, I don't want to get too deep into the discussion of format, because we'll be doing that a bit later on, but I still don't like electronic. I still want a book when it comes to comic books. I'm happy with a book, like a novel in electronic format, and I have been for a long time. But I'm still not fully happy with electronic versions. But I'm still warming to it. And, you know, I might get over myself eventually. Depends how long this bloody lockdown is, I think.
I look forward to you getting over it.
Let's move on to Ghost.
Yeah, so Ghost is Kelly Sue DeConnick and Phil Noto, and, you know, Ghost Hunters find themselves accompanied by the spirit of a mystery woman to investigate her death, in a nutshell.
So Kelly Sue DeConnick, I love Bitch Planet. Yeah. Absolutely love it. What I don't like about Bitch Planet is that she doesn't seem to write very much of it.
Yeah.
And so I love her and she annoys me. So I went into this going, this is going to be good. And I bet that she's faffed around with it. And I don't know. It wasn't as good as Bitch Planet.
I can understand that. It's a weird one. I have read this before and I'd semi forgotten about it. Mm. I think Kelly Sue DeConnick did the first two trades and then the series gets handed over to someone else, which is quite odd. And I don't know, it's got these kind of old school, almost noir vibes to it in a way.
Yeah, the premise was good, you know, like a hokey television ghost hunter show, then getting an actual ghost. I quite liked that. I thought that worked nicely.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting one. And I think, above all else, Phil Noto's art is really nice throughout, I think.
Yeah, it is good.
I think he does well portraying Mary as kind of a ghost at times and then more human in other moments. And I don't know, it's kind of an interesting one because, like I say, I have read it before and I don't know. I've read it before and it's not my favourite Kelly Sue DeConnick book, but I think there's a lot of interesting ideas put down of the what if you come back from the dead and investigate your own murder and you team up with two kind of, well, okay.
Losers.
Yeah, one like down and out news reporter and one, let's be honest, semi-idiotic TV presenter.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's a bit of a weird read, but I think there's a lot of good ideas and I do really need to know what the little box is that everyone nearly got killed over.
Yeah, there was quite a lot to like about it. And we need to point out we read issue zero rather than issue one, because issue zero and issue one are both available on the Dark Horse website. There was a very, very good analysis of how alcohol affects people.
Mm.
And someone who used to drink a lot and doesn't drink very much anymore, it really resonated with me and I was like, oof, that's heavy. I'm not saying I've ever had a problem with alcohol, but I just don't like drinking it anymore, having been a classic binge drinker in my 20s. And for someone who's not particularly fond of it anymore, it really kind of made me think, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It does seem like quite an informed analysis of how alcohol works.
And I like intelligent stuff like that in comic books. And it was clearly written from a feminist point of view, which again, I'm very much down with. Mm-hmm. It just didn't quite grasp me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's an interesting one, and I think as an issue zero, it does a lot to set up what's coming, but kind of doesn't give you a lot to hang on to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it kind of tells you what the plot's going to be, but without much of a cliffhanger or...
Yeah.
It's odd in that sense, because, yeah, it sets everything up, but then goes, and that's the end of this issue. Bye. And...
But I guess that's what an issue zero is supposed to be, right?
I guess it's weird because different companies use issue zeros differently. I know Valiant have always treated it as issue zero is kind of going to come later on in a series. They're going to go back and tell you something you didn't know before or change something or introduce something new to the character. So I guess depending on the company, it depends how they use an issue zero.
Hmm.
And also probably depending on the creator as well.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But with that being said, I think there is a lot to like about this. And I think there is some good intrigue about, you know, what happened to her. Why is she back from the dead as a cape-wearing ghost? did she die as a cape-wearing ghost? Or, so I think there is some good intrigue and, like I say, some good kind of film noir-esque elements there. And the art is really nice. So it's an interesting one. I think it's maybe a kind of somewhat pull. I'm curious enough to read a little bit more and see where it goes, but not immediately on board with, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's a lot to like about this book, but there wasn't enough for me to carry on reading, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think it's something that I will probably give a go at some point, but I'm not sure how soon. So should we talk about next week?
We should, but we are very, very short of time, and I don't actually know what we're doing because I threw my dummy out the pram because you insisted on doing something with Comixology. So take it away, Zach.
So I think we go Valiant. I think Comixology are giving away some of the kind of original 2012 Valiant titles.
Mm.
So I haven't found a fourth book yet, so we might just be on three books next week, but I'll have a look.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
So we've got Faith issue 1, Exo Manowar issue 1, and Bloodshot issue 1. If that works for you.
That definitely works for me. They're three titles I haven't always wanted to read. But yeah, tell me about Comixology very briefly. I've never used it and I really haven't wanted to. Can I like read it on my computer screen or do I have to read it on my tiny little phone screen?
You can read it on your computer screen. It's very, very similar to the Dark Horse reading style.
Do I download an app for my computer or is it through a website?
It's just through the browser, as far as I'm aware.
All right. Maybe I won't hate it then.
It's good. I think it's a good source of grabbing a bit of everything, really. And there's so many free first issues at the moment. I think they've got something ridiculous like 700 free issues at the moment. So, and all those Marvel ones, all those Marvel trades we talked about. So there's some good stuff to grab. And yeah, I think you'll have a good time. You just need to get
all
over
right.
It.
Thanks. Right. Anyway, so that's what we're doing next week. And stay tuned for whether or not I'll have thrown my dummy out the pram about Comixology. I suspect I'll probably get over myself.
And that being said,
thank you for joining us for Pull or Pass. We've pulled, we've passed.
We're going to do it all again next week.
And we'll see you then.